In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you believe on his name? Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Do you know him? Turn with me, please, to 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What did John chapter 1 say? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Does the world know you? Do you bear fruit of the world, or do you bear fruit of him? Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Are we like him? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Are you purifying yourself, even as he is pure? Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Has he taken away your sins? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Do you know him? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God is manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil in our lives, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, God's seed, Christ. Whosoever is born of God has Christ with him, in them, and cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Marvel not if the world hate you. Why would the world hate you? If your works are different than theirs, if your works are righteous as were Abel's, the world would hate you because they would see their own evil. Just as Cain saw his own evil works. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We had a real good reunion this year, as usual. But I noticed a common theme coming from the preachers. And that theme was the same theme that was given us this morning by God to our sister Manon. A hymn, she didn't know why she was supposed to pick it, but she knew she was supposed to pick it. Come ye apart. That was the theme of the reunion. Come ye apart. Be different. Be righteous. Be separate in your ways, in your manner of living from those of the world. My brother Randy Sheldon preached on Friday night about contrasts between the believer and the unbeliever. And in it, he told us that many of us should get rid of our TVs. And I knew that wasn't just Randy speaking, but it was God speaking to me, because God had been telling me to do that for a while. And I had disobeyed. And the next morning, I took my three TVs to the dump. And it was one of the most freeing feelings I've had in my life. Now, before I did it, I prayed. I prayed a lot, because I knew it could cause problems in our family. And I told my wife, I'm going to do something and I need your support. And I thank God she has given me the support. I was prepared for the worst in my family, didn't expect the worst. I was just prepared for it. I was prepared that there might be a battle and that I needed to remain firm with the love of God. This is not Christ giving up his life for his brethren. But for me, it was giving up being the liked father around the house, the liked husband, for being the husband that loves his family because he sees where the devil is getting a foothold. And God was faithful, and we have had so much peace in our house, and we've replaced the TV with having scripture studies nightly, and we have been blessed because not only was I obedient, but my family was obedient, and they haven't complained hardly at all. They've replaced that TV time with other things more productive, and we have been blessed because of our obedience to God. And for me, God was telling me to get rid of my TV. For you, God is telling you maybe to do something else. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to give up because you know it's hurting you, it's hurting your family, and you know it's taking you away from your relationship with God. Let's continue in verse 17. It says, "But whoso hath the world's good," excuse me, "but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So in this example I was telling you, it's not about my family's need for food or for shelter. In this instance, it was their need and my need to come apart from this world. The need to come apart from the devil's temptations. And I had to obey. And I was blessed because I obeyed. And thank God, his love reigned in me and reigned in my family in their response. Verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Let's just not talk about the Word of God and his gospel. Let's do what it says. Let it have its effect in our lives. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments." Have you asked God to do something? Something good? And you haven't received it? Maybe you're not keeping his commandments. Maybe he's told you to do something and you haven't done it. How do you expect him to do something you want him to do? "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Do we do things that are pleasing in his sight? "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. Think of the time where you felt closest to God. For many of you, it was when you were baptized. You kept his commandment. You repented of your sins. You believed his word that when you went into the waters of baptism, you would be washed. You would receive a remission of your sins. And then when hands were laid upon your head, you were filled with the Holy Ghost. You obeyed his commandments. And because you obeyed, he dwelled in you, and you in him. Go back to that. Obey his commandments. Do what he's told you to do. Don't wait any longer. And you will be immediately blessed. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. When you feel his Spirit, you'll know you're abiding in him. We live in a wicked world. It's all around us. We were talking about in our Sunday school class this morning that there are false preachers and teachers all over. Sister was mentioning Nostradamus is in all the ads in the supermarket, whatever they're called. Whatever they're called, periodicals. That's a too technical a term. I can't think. Anyway, the smut that's out there, I'm going to say. But we have it all around us. False prophets, false teachers, false Christs, false wisdom. It's all around us. Wickedness is just all around us. And it was interesting because we were reading about King Benjamin, and it just sounded like, he got rid of all the false Christs and all this, and it sounded like he was able to do that just because it was, you know, people believed more than they believe these days. And then a sister said, read on. I don't think that's the case. And so I want to read that a little bit. I want to read what they did with this wicked world they lived in. In verse 25 of the Words of Mormon, I'm on page 206. There's only one chapter in the Words of Mormon. It's right before Mosiah. Starting in verse 25 through 27, it says, and after there having been much contentions and many dissensions away unto the Lamanites, so these are the Nephites, but there were all these contentions, arguments in the land, fighting, dissensions, people being led away, that's dissensions. Oh, and it says, away unto the Lamanites. Behold, it came to pass that King Benjamin, with the assistance of the holy prophets which were among his people, so it wasn't just the king himself, there were other people around who'd chosen to obey God, to keep his commandments. With the assistance of the holy prophets which were among his people, for behold, King Benjamin was a holy man, and he did reign over his people in righteousness. And there were many holy men in the land, and they did speak the word of God with power and with authority. And they did use much sharpness because of the stiff-neckedness of the people. Brothers and sisters, I'm afraid we need sharpness too. I praise God if you don't, but I'm afraid we need it too. I'm afraid that we are a little bit too close to the world, and we need to come apart from the ways of the world, and we need to read daily the Word of God in this wisdom, which is absolute truth. And we need to live as we've been called to live in this land, so that we can spread this love that was talked about in 1 John, this love, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. He's given us this opportunity that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. That's how we should live. We should be different. They know us not. Who are these people, and where do they come from? They haven't been taught in the same way I've been taught. They don't live like I do. They have a love that's different, that overcomes evil. And they did use much sharpness because of the stiff-neckedness of the people. Wherefore, with the help of these, King Benjamin, by laboring with all his might, all the might of his body and the faculty of his whole soul, and also the prophets. I want to read that again. Wherefore, with the help of these people, and with their much preaching and sharpness of tongue, King Benjamin, by laboring with all the might of his body and the faculty of his whole soul, and also the prophets, wherefore they did once more establish peace in the land. Do you know we can have that? Do you know we can have righteousness in this land? We read the 9th and 10th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi, and we see destruction. And we see the future of this land. But that doesn't have to be our people or our immediate surroundings. We, by living the example of Christ, can be a light to this surrounding community and can establish peace in the land. And you know, this is not just for preachers. When I was in high school, I was a very rebellious child. And I would go out drinking and stay out late at bars. I had a sister and brother-in-law who would invite me over. You all may not agree with this exactly, but I want to show you the example they gave to me. They would invite me over because they lived close to the bars, invite me over so that I wouldn't be driving around like that. And I would invite me over to stay the night. And then the next day, and the days after, they would read me the Word of God, and they would invite me to scripture studies. And so thereby, they spoke with sharpness through the Word. And I am that I was that example of this evil world. And they, with sharpness of tongue, the Word of God, because it was sharp. I remember that the Word was speaking directly against me, but yet they did it in love, and that had an effect on my soul. And so this sharpness shouldn't be me just up here preaching or the preachers, but it should be each of us when we have come close to God with our own obedience in keeping his commandments, that we can actually live as a light to this world, that we take this word in all of its truth and its sharpness to a world that needs it and really, really, really wants it. I wanted it. Even though I, at the time, was rebellious, down deep I wanted the sharpness of the Word of God. I wanted to change. I wanted to know what was right. And I wanted to live it. Turn with me to Alma, chapter 17, verse 66. Alma to his son Helaman. Was talking about the secret works and abominations that the people of Nephi had entered into. And he said to them, preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves. Do you know, we here in the United States, even in the Church of Christ, are a prideful people. We are a prideful people. And we don't even know it. That's the sad part. And I only know it because I've gone to third world countries where I see people who are poor and don't have much, and they just grasp on the Word of God and they hunger after it. But you know what? You're here. You're at church. And that means you want to follow after God's ways. And I want to, but I am so prideful at times. I know there are many times when the thought comes to mind, I want to do this, and I go ahead and do it just because I want to do it. That is pride, rather than seeking the will of God. It says, teach them to humble themselves. That's a practice of when we recognize our own pride, to get down on our knees before God and ask him to forgive us and recognize our own unworthiness. You know, King Benjamin talked about our own unworthiness, that we're less than the dust of the earth. And we should do that. We should recognize our unworthiness before God and our need for him at every moment. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to overcome. Remember, the word says that that he was tempted in all things that we are. He knows how to lead us out of temptation. Christ was tempted even as we are. And so it says, withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he's already gone through it. Let's trust in him that he'll pull us through it. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. Our brother Brandon Tarbell preached on Friday. I wasn't able to make it, but I got the CD and listened to it in my car on my way to work. And he talked about pressing forward. You know, you do one thing right, every good work. In my own example of taking the TV out of the house, I'm going to call that a good work. But anyway, I can't stop there. The next thing that I see in my life, I've got that I need to get rid of, I need to get rid of, or that he wants me to do, to go speak to someone, to go help a neighbor who needs help working, to go do what God wants me to do. Keep pressing forward. So teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. I love that rest, that peace that God gives you when you keep his commandments. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Youth, in your youth, this is speaking to you young people, but it's also speaking to us older people. You know, I think about, at the very most, no, very least, I think that's right, I have 4 years left with my son Jose at home. And I think about how long God has told me to get rid of the TV and how much time I've wasted. And if I had kept God's commandments, like it says, in my youth, or when I was in my 20s, when I first had my children at home, my wife warned me about having a TV. And I didn't heed then. And because I didn't obey God, I know that God had commanded me, and I didn't obey, I have not received some of the peace, the years of peace that I could have received. So it's so important to obey God in our youth, or when he tells us to do something, to obey him right away, to do it when he says it. Or if you haven't done it, do it today. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support, because he's going to give you the strength to keep his commandments. And when trials and temptations and the snares of this life come your way, and the darts of the adversary, he's the one that gives strength to overcome. Yea, he'll give everything you need. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks to God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. When I read this morning, I was outside on my back porch, and there was just such a peace surrounding me. And not just because it was beautiful outside, but because God is good. Yea, let all thy... I'm going to... Yea, verse 70, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. So all in all, abide in Christ. Keep his commandments. Let your prayers be unto him throughout the day. lie down with him at night, and give thanks to him in the morning. And ye shall be lifted up at the last day.